Hey, everybody, and welcome to episode 359 of Good Luck High Five.
That's right. It's a podcast for you if you play Magic the Gathering, however you're out there playing it.
If you're on the floor, if you're on a table, if you're in space, if you're in a submarine, if you're in a tree, if you're rolling around inside a burrito, this is a podcast for you.
Or an arena. That's also fine.
Oh, yeah, I suppose that is
way that you could be playing
one
it right
option.
Now. Yeah, but if you're not playing inside a burrito, where are you really living?
Well, you can play arena inside a burrito. Think about that. Think about that reality.
Okay. No.
Don't just okay know me.
Outline for me what you mean by the phrase, quote, you can play arena inside a burrito. You can't just say that and not back it up with some facts.
You know, like you could potentially make a giant tortilla, cover yourself in ground beef and cheese and whatever else you're putting in your burrito, hook up your laptop. Like you could surround yourself with a plastic coating so nothing gets.
I just want to be clear that in order to make this happen, you have made a tortilla big enough to wrap a person.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You have cooked enough ground beef to surround a person.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Found enough shredded cheese.
Cheese.
Okay. Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Onions. Yeah. I mean, I'm just saying it is possible. Or you can just do it the way where you're just in a blanket and you're all cozy and comfy.
Yes. Certainly what I was
thinking.
Human
burrito. Anyway, I'm one of your hosts, Maria.
I'm another one of your hosts, Megan.
And on today's show, we're going to talk all about Mythic Championship 7 and everything that means. Are you still thinking about it?
I'm just like thinking about like what happened in my life and now I'm here.
Oh my God. So many things went wrong, honestly. We were both at Mythic Championship 7 this past weekend, and a lot of things, besides just somebody winning the tournament, happened because of that. And so we're going to get into that, all the deck lists that they played, and what like 2020 looks like for the future of like competitive Magic.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, a whole new world.
It really is.
As things, Aladdin would say.
Things look different, and will they continue to look different, or will they then look the same? We really don't know.
We really don't. But before we start the show, a big thank you to everybody who supports us on patreon.com/glhfmagic. You are the reason we have this beautiful new audio board we're recording through this week.
That's right.
That's the sound of applause that we are giving you because we now have sound effects on our beautiful board as well.
Just so you know, Maria has not yet added the fart sound effect to this, but she did download it.
Yeah, I'm ready for it.
I saw her downloaded fart sound effect earlier.
Don't worry, everyone. It will be on here. But can anything really beat the sad trombone? Which I think we're going to need from time to time.
So if you want to cause this, become a patron of our show.
You want to be responsible for
what this is. Become a patron of the show over at patreon.com/glhfmagic. Thank you so much to everyone who already is one for our beautiful new soundboard and for generally keeping the show on the air.
Hey, do you want to set a goal for the end of the year?
Sure.
Like how many new patrons?
Wow, yeah.
And see if we can get there.
What time is it?
Today, it's 12:30.
Okay, but it's the 10th is what
it's
meant.
It's the 10th. Sure, the date happens to be the 10th.
Yeah.
So how many do you want to get before the end of the month? Sub goal.
Just, do you know what? I'm going to put a gentle cap on it, like 15.
All right, 15.
It's the holiday season.
Before the end
can
of
we
year.
Have 15 holiday givers out there? 15 Santas.
Yeah.
Good luck, high five. Or, you know, Kris Kringle or, you know.
Krampus, Marie Schuid, various
spooky.
Other spooky traditions.
The spooky one. The Nordic one where she wears the wreath on with the candles on her head.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I can't remember her name.
Yeah.
But I will say this. If we get 15, I will dress up as Santa for the Crimbies.
Wow, everybody, you hear that?
I will be Santa.
Maria Crimbies. Will dress up as Santa. So all of our 15 new patrons' money will go towards ostensibly purchasing a Santa costume.
It'll be budget Santa.
Oh, even better. Maria will dress up as budget Santa.
And we'll have fancy, we'll make some fancy Christmas drinks for the Crimbies.
Yeah, that would be so lovely.
I think that would be really
Thank
nice.
You to the person who already reminded us to put like a crackling fire behind
us. Oh, yeah,
for
that's
going to
be so nice.
Be really, really great.
All right, so help us get there. Patreon.com/GLHFmagic.
Yes, thank you as well to our sponsor, Card Kingdom. CardKingdom.com/GLHF. Best place to go for all of your magic playing and holiday gift giving needs.
Absolutely. Do you have somebody that's hard to buy for on your list that loves magic? Guess what? You can find them something at Card Kingdom.
They're secretly not difficult to buy for. Just buy them magic stuff.
Yeah.
Buy them great magic stuff at Card Kingdom. Sweet boxes, sweet boosters, sweet singles, all sorts of things and accessories.
I think that is the official line on Card Kingdom. All sorts of things and accessories. Yeah. It's true. And just say good luck, have sticker or good luck, have token. They'll put a free good luck, high five sticker token in your order. It's free. What more do you want? And super fast shipping. So Card Kingdom is really doing it. By the way, a cool present it would be a Lumeria draft set.
That's right. They do have new Lumeria draft product, which is their own designed draft set.
It's so cool. It's like a cube. Yes. They've made it with a bunch of new cards and, well, not new cards, old cards, but they put them in new combinations into packs that you can draft with your friends. And we previewed some of these cards. One of them was Grey Merchant of Asphodel, which is in the set. And we love that card.
Gary!
So you can go play with Gary and draft Gary with your friends and all that kind of stuff.
And they have cool, like, tokens for from their content creators. So we're in there. There's a really cute dog who's definitely the best one.
A very good boy.
A very good boy. But, you know, also other great people who are less good than the dog, but still good.
But still very good. Yeah, tokens come in the draft pack, so that's really, really cool. Head on over to cardkingdom.com/GLHF to check out Lumeria, the Great Divide, and all their other stuff you can buy there for your holiday season and, in fact, the rest of your natural existence. Let's talk about Mythic Championship 7, shall we?
Yeah, it sure happened.
Hey, if you didn't check it out, it happened this past weekend in sunny Long Beach, California. That's a lie. It was like raining the whole time. Long Beach, California.
it was raining? No, it wasn't.
One day it was raining.
One span of 15 minutes it was raining.
And in my head, that's all I remember.
15 minutes and just made it into four days.
It was 4 days of rain.
It was raining so little of the trip that I forgot that it had rained at all. But now I remember that time that it was.
Yes. 67 competitors showed up to throw down in Standard on Arena.
Yes. One of them missing because they had visa issues.
It should have been 68.
But they'll be in the next one.
They'll be at the next one.
Yes.
And in the end, only one player was left standing, and that player was none other than Piotr Glogowski, a.k.a. Canister on stream.
A.k.a. Angry Face. Yeah.
A.k.a. Mr. New Blue Hair, which I was a big fan of.
A.k.a. Yorgo.
A.k.a. John Sacrifice.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Took the whole thing down, wins $100,000, and secured a spot at the World Championship coming up in February as well.
Pretty cool stuff. So this Jund Sacrifice deck.
Let's talk about
Maria, tell me how you feel.
I hate it.
What?
Just kidding. I mean, I don't really...
What?
I don't love it because I don't love the Cat Oven combo, which I think I've mentioned on the show before, just because it's very like grindy and pingy. And some Magic players love that. And there's so many decisions. You know, don't play this deck if you like don't want to make a million decisions and have a really hard kind of like various lines you could take in a game.
I loved it.
But I just a tiny ping chipped. I think it's just annoying because I like attacking with creatures. And that cat, that dang cat doesn't care about that.
But he attacked plenty of times with Korvold.
I do like Korvold.
Yeah.
I will say that.
This has two copies of Korvold Fakehurst King in it. This card is just wild. You draw so many. Like, I loved it because this was a card draw deck.
Oh,
it's
boy.
It's secretly a card draw deck with four copies of Trail of Crumbs, two copies of Korvold. You just draw cards for days.
You do. I mean, Trail of Crumbs is the real deal here.
Yes, it is. So Trail of Crumbs, in case you haven't drafted this randomly, one in a green for an enchantment. When it enters the battlefield, create a food token. Whenever you sacrifice a food, you may pay one. If you do, look at the top two cards of your library. You may reveal a permanent from among them and put it into your hand. Put the rest on the bottom of your library.
Yeah.
So you just get permanence for days.
With Witch's Oven and that cat combo, Cauldron Familiar, it just never ends.
Exactly.
Mayhem Devil as well in this deck.
Wow, we saw him kill Anissa from 5 loyalty, 7 loyalty.
With pings from a Mayhem Devil?
With pings from a Mayhem Devil.
Impressive.
In the finals. It was wild.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons to play Jund colors because, you know, everybody knew about the Golgari cat sacrifice deck, right?
Yeah.
And adding red in, it's kind of like, what is the point? Well, Mayhem Devil is super, super powerful for obvious reasons in this deck.
Anytime a player sacrifices a permanent. So it's also not just you. Wants to crack
a fabled passage.
Yes. Well, they're going to take damage.
Yeah. Very good at killing gilded geese as well. Yes.
It can point that damage at anything. Like we said, killed a Nissa.
Wow.
Killed many geese. Killed, you know, if you want to tap your Paradise Druid, don't do it if there's a Mayhem Devil on the battlefield.
Don't do it.
It will be gone.
Yeah, I'm like being a little facetious in me saying I don't like this deck because it's obviously a great choice and he played it perfectly.
Yeah.
He didn't lose a match all weekend. Like you said, to be fair, it was a split winner, so he didn't have to play on day one.
Yeah.
But that's still an incredible accomplishment.
Yes, to go 5-0 on day two and then just run it through the finals.
That's right. Double elimination.
Pretty amazing.
Soared all the way to victory with this deck that is totally him.
Yeah.
It's definitely Piotr style. He said in his winner's interview that he was really sad that KCI, KirkClan, Ironworks got banned in Modern, which if I'm going to say, if you're going to play the standard version of KirkClan, Ironworks, you're playing this deck.
Yeah, I mean.
Very similar kind of pingy, weird, grindy game. But this was the deck that took it all down.
Yeah. Very cool. At some point, also, I think he told someone, I'm undefeated because I have 3 copies of Beanstalk Giant in my deck. And they were like,
That's definitely it right there, the Beanstalk Giant.
For sure.
So that was the number one deck of the tournament. But there was another deck that was pretty popular that a lot of people were talking about, which was Simic Flash.
And the 3 players on this deck, which were Brad Nelson, Javier Dominguez, and Seth Manfield, all made the top 8.
Wow. So they made the right call, I would say.
Yes.
They built this deck to be very tempo-oriented and specifically to combat Jeskai Fires, which, smart move, Jeskai Fires was the most represented deck of that specific narrow archetype at the tournament. If you count all the sacrifice decks, that's more.
Yeah.
But they were different flavors of sacrifice. So, they built it to be Jeskai Fires, which it does very easily.
Yeah. Very, very nice deck. Yeah.
Counter spells and then stick that annoying Nightpack Ambusher or that Brimborn Cutthroat.
Nightpack Ambusher, what a card.
I mean, a
4/4 house that makes 3/3 houses. They're all wolves, obviously, but.
That makes 3/3 houses.
Yeah.
This deck has been around for a little while, not, you know, necessarily in this configuration, but.
It has been around for quite a bit now.
Quite a bit. Took a break. And then it's
come back.
Resurgence. I saw a lot of people playing it on the ladder right before this tournament.
Yeah.
And I was playing Simic Is It Flash, which is another deck some people brought to this tournament. And I could never, ever beat it.
No, you are, I imagine.
Huge dog. Yeah. So Simic Flash definitely did very well for all the players playing it. Seth Manfield convinced the other 2 players who were on this to bring it to the tournament. And good thing he did. Yeah.
Well, I think he was correct.
And, got into the top 8 in 8th place on tiebreakers. So super cool to see him getting in top 8 with the deck that he kind of championed for the weekend.
So one of my favorite decks that we saw this weekend that also made top 8 was Andrea Mengucci's Simic Ramp deck.
Classic.
This deck was wild.
I loved it.
I really love it. It has 4 Leafkin Druid, which taps for mana. It has 4 Risen Reef.
What?
Which is really a very powerful card for being a 3-mana 1/1.
And welcome back, Elemental Friend.
Exactly. So it's 3-mana for a 1/1 creature elemental. When Risen Reef or another elemental enters the battlefield under your control, look at the top card of your library. If it's a land, you may put it onto the battlefield tapped.
Ramp.
If you don't put the card onto the battlefield, put it into your hand.
Draw a card.
So you literally, it comes into play, you either get a ramp or you get to draw.
It's amazing. This card was a staple of the elemental deck that was from a few months ago. And in this deck, I mean, that's an elemental. Yes. The Leafkin Druid is an elemental.
And most importantly, Cavalier of Thorns.
Oh boy.
Two green, green, green for a 5/6 reach. When it enters the battlefield, put the top five cards of your, reveal the top five cards of your library, put a land card from among them onto the battlefield and the rest into your graveyard. Yeah. So another ramp. And then when it dies, you may exile it. If you do, put another target card from your graveyard on top of your library.
Yeah, so you can just replay a Crasis and then you just, or whatever.
Exactly. Or Finale of Devastation. We saw him cast multiple Finales of Devastation for X equals 10.
Great.
To go get End Raise Forerunners.
Get hoofed! These are
the pigs, the 7/7 pigs for 8 mana. That have vigilance, trample, haste, and give other creatures you control +2/+2 vigilance and trample until end of turn.
I love it. Overrun, just,
yeah. And then Finale of Devastation also like gives +X/+X to your creatures, whatever X was. There's just so many spicy cards in here.
I love it. It's a fireworks deck.
Agent of Treachery to go and get that finale, or not. I mean, to go like snap, steal to get something. With Finale to steal something. Yep. Two copies of Quasi Duplicate, which you can like mill with the Cavalier and then like copy it.
Yeah.
You can jumpstart it and copy the Cavalier again.
This was a cool deck.
Oh, it was really cool.
Not nearly enough attacking with creatures for my taste, but...
Maria! But when you do attack with your creatures, they are 17/17 pigs.
Okay, I do like that part.
See?
That part's awesome.
That is... Nothing more is getting hoofed than that.
The There's pain no bacon. More. Yeah, I've got to be on board with it as far as that goes.
Yeah.
Do you want to know my favorite deck of the tournament?
Tell me.
It was none other than Chris Kvartek's Golgari Adventure deck.
Ah, whatever.
I mean, this is how Megan feels about it. Oh, no, that's a spooky sound. I just thought it was a sad sound. No, the
sad trombone it.
I loved it though because it was a creature deck, right? And it was also able to draw a bunch of cards. It's still playing Edgewall Innkeeper with a bunch of adventure creatures, right?
That's true.
My favorite part though was the fact that it played three copies of the Great Henge.
Yes, okay, I did love that this played the Great Henge.
Yes, it gives it some late game inevitability and it helps, you know, you can really power out the Great Henge too early on if you're playing cards like Lovestruck Beast or whatever, just like get out there. Or of course,
putting
Rotting Regisaur.
Drawing cards.
Yep.
Oh yeah, Rotting Regisaur.
Reggie's in here, but how do we get Reggie through versus all those cat decks? None other than Vivian Arcbow Ranger, who is able to give them trample.
Ooh.
So you can play Viv and put counters on your Rotting Regisaur, on your Lovestruck Beast, what have you, and then just boom, trample in for damage.
And I have to say, like, Rotting Regisaur is just a house.
I know, it was a big champion of the last Arena MC, and here it is once again. No more sword in its little dino paws, but
like, when it comes out on turn three, it's like, here's the 7/6.
Can you deal with this?
And the answer is quite often no. We saw so many times when the answer was no.
Yeah, absolutely. I love this card, obvi. And and this deck is fun to play. It's a creature deck. You're attacking with dudes. You're smashing face. Like, this is my jam. So I'm happy that Chris brought it to the tournament.
This is very you. I want to see where can we look at the full tournament deck list, because that's what I want.
Well, I know they're on a MTG Goldfish version. I'm sorry, I have no. If they're on the Magic website, I don't know where they are.
I know, same. Okay, come on.
It might be somewhere, like, if you hit load more, they might, yeah,
like,
there might
if
be
we
more
just keep
of them.
Going?
Yeah, I think they posted all of them on there at some point.
Hit that
this?
One. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You might have to keep going.
No,
you might have to
no,
keep doing.
Okay, no.
Oh, there they are.
All Mythic Championship.
Okay, we figured 7. It out, everybody.
All right, this is not a deck. That did super hot.
Are you going to talk about the Azorius control deck?
No.
Because that one was pretty spicy.
I want to talk about a truly spicy...
Five color fires
okay, deck.
Okay, great. Yeah, so there's also Rakdos Sacrifice, Golgari Sacrifice, Jund Sacrifice, tons of sacrifice decks, which if you add them all together, they made up the largest percentage of the field. But without that, on day one, Jeskai Fires was the most represented
Ken
deck.
Ken Yukihiro... Bringing it with
classic Ken
with the wild decks, as he always does.
Yep.
So this is a fires deck.
Yeah.
But instead of just being Jeskai Fires, who wants to play it safe? Not us.
When you can play five colors.
When you can play five colors, three copies of Escape to the Wilds. Three red, green for a sorcery. Exile the top five cards of your library. You may play cards exiled this way until the end of your next turn. You may play an additional land this turn.
Okay.
Right? Like,
find what you need.
Who has seen that card played? Maybe some Reclamation decks have played it, but very little else. Four copies of Niv-Mizzet Reborn.
This is a card that costs Wooburg to play.
Yes.
BT dubs.
White, blue, black, red, green. Amazing. For a 6/6 flyer, when it enters the battlefield, reveal the top 10 cards of your library for each color pair. Choose a card that's exactly those colors from among them. Put the chosen cards into your hand and the rest in the bottom of your library.
Like, you're never like, just... It's always getting fires out. If you're able to cast that, it's an unusual day.
You can get Hydroid Crassus with that.
Casualties of War was a huge card this weekend because of all the fires.
You can
decks.
Get Casualties of War. You can get Escape to the Wild. You can get Growth Spiral. If you don't hit a Crassus.
Kenrith just great in this deck.
Yep, one copy of Kenrith. I love it. It's so absurd.
Is this what you would be playing? If you're on Arena?
I don't know. Is it any good? Is the question.
I don't know either.
I don't think the Ken made day two, so.
Womp womp.
Yeah. As you mentioned, there were some control decks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like, oh, you want to try out a control deck?
Well, I do really want to try out.
There were a few people playing Azorius control. Alexander Hain was playing Esper control. Ifro and Ben Stark were both on the Azorius control variant.
Oh, I forgot. Shota Yasuoka brought a different kind of five color fires.
Oh, with Golos in it.
Yes.
Welcome back, Golos.
Yes, four copies of Golos, two of Agent of Treachery, three Crassus. Do we say Crassus or Crassus?
Well,
here?
We say what Crassus, kind of home are but we? Everyone yelled at us and said it was Crassus.
Okay.
Or Crassus. Yelled at me specifically. And the person was Marshall. Let's name names.
Yeah. That checks out. Two copies of Time Wipe, again, for Casualties of War. Just, I love it. What an absurd deck.
I love it, too. I'm so happy that these players, like, took a risk.
Yes.
And brought something spicy to the tourney.
Great. A plus.
So let me tell you about the Azorius control deck.
Wow, because Maria's going to tell us about it, which is just wild.
Well, I just think you would like it.
Yeah,
is
no,
all
I,
I'm saying.
Okay, we can talk about it. Ben Stark and Eric Froelich both played this.
So I talked to Eric about this, and he said he thinks the deck has no bad matchups. Well, sadly, he did not make it to day two. Ben Stark did, though.
Yeah.
But it's really cool. You're playing Gadwick the Wizened, which I learned it's Wizened. Which draws you cards, taps down your opponent's stuff. You're saying no to everything. You've got little T, Teferi, Time Raveler, Time Wipe, Planar Cleansing.
Dovin's Veto.
Dovin's Veto, Absorb. No.
Ooh, Planar Cleansing.
Which is great, you know, in this meta as well.
Nice.
But Finale of Revelation is my favorite.
Oh, same. While we're talking about finales getting cast.
We might as well talk about this one. Draw X cards. So it costs X blue for this mythic. If X is 10 or more, you basically have no maximum hand size for the rest of the game. And what was the other part of this?
Okay, so shuffle your graveyard into your library.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Draw X cards. If X is 10 or more, instead shuffle your graveyard into your library.
Draw X
cards. Untap up to 5 lands, and you have no maximum hand size for the rest of the game.
And the arena animation shows like a golden egg appearing when you cast this, which is quite fun.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
So if you like telling people...
No.
Consider this deck for yourself.
I like it. I like it quite a bit.
So yeah, it was a great tournament. Tons of different decks played. The top 8 was stacked with amazing players.
Mm-hmm.
And we had a bunch of exciting stuff as far as the World Championship, the MPL in 2020, and the Rivals League in 2020. All those invitations went out too.
Yeah.
So not only did we crown a champion at MC7, we also now know everybody who will be competing in the World Championship, which is a super exciting tournament coming up in February over Valentine's Day weekend in Hawaii.
Everyone there is Valentine is magic.
Yeah, that's true. And it's for $1 million prize pool.
If you go, one of the qualifications is you had to qualify for the tournament, and you also, upon arrival, have to say, my Valentine is magic.
You have to give a Valentine.
Magic is my Valentine.
To magic. Oh, that makes me so excited because Twitter for magic people on Valentine's Day is actually pretty fun because a lot of people do roses are red little poems to magic cards, which is quite amusing. So if you want a happy Twitter experience, usually magic on Valentine's Day is a happy one.
And every other day of the year.
Might be a trash
Twitter,
fire.
Twitter is terrible.
But this is going to shape up to be a really sick tourney.
Yes.
With some really awesome players. What?
It's going to be played on Arena.
Yeah.
There are parts of that that I like.
Oh, you
I
sound disappointed.
That any standard portion should be played on Arena.
Yeah.
And if they had a format, like if they were like, I don't know, weirdly they were like, Historic's going to be our other one. You'd be like, okay. But like, we're going to, like, what if we lose draft because of this? We probably are.
That makes me very sad. That's accurate.
Like, we're probably going to lose draft because of this. You know, we, like, Modern has been in the past, you know, like, the World Championship has been a whole display of a bunch of different formats a lot of the time.
You just made me so sad now.
I know.
I really want a draft.
Well.
What if they did draft IRL and then put Arena as standard?
I mean, that's what I'm saying is, like, maybe they will, but it seems to me more like if you had your hall set up for
Arena, you're not going to change you're not, around.
It's going to be such a mess to like all those computer banks.
Yeah, you're
like,
right.
Move them around places.
Okay, so say it is Arena. What if another one is they have to play Brawl?
I would actually be super into that.
I would love that. I would love that.
I would be all for them playing Brawl as one of the formats.
All right, we'll feel better if you do that, Wizards, okay? So just think about it.
Oh, man. I wouldn't mind that.
Yeah, that'd be fun. Or Singleton or something silly.
Or Omniscience Draft. Like Historic. Why not?
Historic, sure. It's just so Historic is like not very historic at this point in time.
No, it's true. It's not a lot different from Standard.
And like the you can like put weird old cards in there, and it's just kind of like Standard plus a few weird old cards.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Well, maybe it's a way to like bump it and be like, hey, we need to really get this going.
It would drive interest, that's for sure. But yeah, so we don't know the format yet.
No.
But we do know the people. Javier will be back to defend his title.
Yes.
And I hope he wins again because that would be so absurd.
Honestly, same.
And like, don't bet against him. Are you mad? This guy is like the best player playing right now.
Are you mad?
Are you mad? Plus all of our Mythic champions from throughout the season, including Jean-Emmanuel Duprat, who got second at MC5 because Javier won the dang thing. Our top four MPL Mythic Point leaders and the top four challengers.
Yeah. Pretty cool.
My other person I would want to see win is Chris Kvartek, who I really like as a player. Like, he's a nice guy and he's kind of like the dream, right? He is just somebody who qualified the hard way for some Mythic championships and is like, yeah, I'm just going to keep playing and being good at this game and I'm going to rise to the top. And he is doing so right now. And in fact, is qualified for MPL next year.
Yeah. I would say I would really love to see, like, I would honestly love to see like Sebastian Potzel win.
Yeah. He's really nice too.
He was on track for the MPL. Like while we're talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
So he got bumped to Rivals.
Yep.
And there was like some talk about it over the weekend of like he earned both of his spots in the Arena MCs that he played. And Gabe Nassif, who ended up being one of the people who bumped him out of the MPL.
It was a special invite.
Was a special invite to one of them.
Yeah.
And then earned his spot in the next one.
Yes.
So it's kind of one of those things where it's like, I feel like I'd feel bad for him.
Me too.
He put in a lot of really hard work.
It is patent. It is unfair.
Exactly. And at the end of the day, like, you know, like they've talked about how they're cut all of the Latin American players always like they're cutting all of these events for us. So I would love to see a player from like the very large South American Magic playing community to just take it all down because they are really excellent. Like there's so many excellent players. I feel for them. It really sucks to be like, all of our support down here is getting cut.
And we've got Matias Leverado playing as well and Sebastian Pozzo, both from Argentina, representing at the World Championship. So yeah, you can have two horses in that race if you like.
Yes.
And they're,
always have the most horses in a race that you can.
That is how I bet on a horse race. Just bet on all of them.
Just
that way you can't
$5 on all.
Oh man, Megan, we should go to the racetrack. Not now, but
horse racing is one of the kinds of gambling that I really don't understand. How are you supposed to ever know?
I have no idea.
How are you supposed to have any idea?
I feel like you've got to have some insider info. This horse had a good breakfast today, so.
Right? Like that's a thing in horse race betting, isn't it?
Knowing what the horse had for breakfast.
Not that, but like having like being like, you know, like, hey, you know, you're a stable hand over there. What do you know? Will you drug this horse so it doesn't run as fast? That's a thing, right?
Horse drugging?
Yes. You think I sound crazy, but I'm pretty sure that there is like a massive amount of modern day
horse racing.
Yes. I think it's
Is it that corrupt?
I think that it is archaic.
Wow. If you know anything about modern day horse racing and the corruption therein, please tweet at us at GLHF Magic with the hashtag
corrupt horses.
I went and saw horse racing for the first time this summer, and it was honestly a delight. But I don't know if that was because of the horse racing or the fact that they had a blackjack table outside. I could just sit and play blackjack.
Yes. Well, there like happened to be ponies.
Happened to be some horses out there
in the background.
And that was the only thing I made money on, not the horses. yeah. Anyway, what the heck were we talking about?
We're doing the world championship who we hope wins.
Okay. So yeah, I think I would be happy to see either of them win as well.
Yeah.
But yeah, coming up February, don't miss it. You can win a trip, BT Dubs, if you want. If you want a free trip to Hawaii.
If you want to go to Hawaii. Maybe you're like, Hawaii's not that great.
Wizards is running a contest where you can design a Magic-themed Hawaiian shirt and potentially win a trip to Hawaii.
Yeah.
This would be pretty cool. But yeah, not only World Championship stuff, we now know the invite list for the MPL for next year and for the Rivals League for next year.
That's right.
Some people fell out of the MPL, dropped down into the Rivals League, which are some pretty big names, like Eric Froelich dropped down into the Rivals League.
Ben Stark. Mike Sigrist.
Wait, tell the Ben Stark story.
Which one?
About and dropping down into Rivals.
So here's the word on the street is that at Richmond, on day two, Ben Stark
just so on brand
missed a round because he was late because he was getting lunch.
Chipotle, probably.
And if he had played and won that round, it could have been a difference of 7 points, which would have made a difference in his MPL versus Rivals.
Oh my God. It's just the most Ben Stark story I've ever heard.
Yes. I mean, sometimes you should prioritize. I'm not saying prioritization is for everyone.
Or for everything.
Or for everything, but I'm just saying that sometimes
you should play your round.
Prioritize things.
That's funny and sad. But I mean, he's streaming a lot now, so that's a great income source for him too, I'm sure. And he's got a very, very devoted following on Twitch too. But yeah, we're bumping people into MPL, which is our four challengers, Chris Kvartek, Raf Levy, Gab Nassif, and Andre Strosky.
Yeah, pretty cool.
When I learned about that, I mean, like, those are the people I'm rooting for.
Yeah.
And I want it to be more than four.
Yeah, you want like more turnover?
Yeah, I do. I want it to be like eight.
Ooh.
Which is pretty brutal now that I think about it. That is. But I'm here for the blood.
Just like, cut them out.
Get them out of there. Drop them down to Rivals, into the minors.
I feel like maybe in the future it will be more.
Yeah, I think it probably will. Like six maybe is a good number.
Well, because they announced this, right? When they talked about the play changes a while back.
Oh, did they?
Yes. Where like,
because it's going to be 20 plus four. So 24 members of the MPL, right?
Yes.
In the partial season, which runs from January to July next year.
The bottom, like, is it just that the bottom four get relegated and then like the four right above that get to play in the gauntlet?
Something like that.
So I think it could be as many as eight.
It's so long since I thought about the gauntlet.
Same.
Wow.
Because that was a confusing page of text.
Yeah, that was a big page of text we read a long time ago about how all that's going to work.
I don't remember how much turnover there's going to be, but
anyway, I want more.
Yes. Marissa, scrap them all.
Put them in the ring and make them fight. And yeah, a bunch of people joining Rivals like Kai Buda, Luis Scott Vargas.
Are they joining? They're being offered contracts.
They're being invited. Simon Gertsen has been offered an invite into Rivals, which is very exciting for us. Our coverage buddy. Yeah. Kenji Igashira, which is great. Hometown boy, Greg Orange.
Yeah.
Welcome. And yeah, some people dropping down. So it's been a churn for 2020.
It is a churn.
Which I find exciting.
Stir the pot.
Stir that pot. But again, 2020 is a little weird because it's going to be a partial season. And then starting next August or whatever, it's going to be the real deal moving forward.
Yeah.
We're not going to be able to see any more MPL Weekly in that time slot for the partial season.
It'll come back in August. So.
I hope so. We had a fun time doing that job.
Yeah, we did.
As the weekly reporters.
It was a fun time.
Yeah, it was a great gig. So I really hope that comes back. But that was all the stuff that happened at Mythic Championship 7.
Yeah.
And also we ate some good food.
Yeah, we did.
Which is really the big story.
That hummus.
Oh, I'm thinking about that ramen, even though I got the pork bowl with the extra chasu.
Or the spicy tuna on top of the crispy rice squares.
So good. So good.
So good. All right, everyone, we have time for some questions that we asked for on Twitter.
I mean, A-U-A.
Wait, yeah.
Ask us anything.
So first we have from Nicholas, who does our board game reviews.
Oh, yeah, check
on the board game channel.
YouTube.com/GLHFboardgames, everyone.
What is the current best use of wild cards in Arena?
Well, you craft what you want.
I mean, you craft cards for decks that you want.
Yeah.
Very seriously, I did not use my wild cards for a very long time because I was uninspired by the standard season.
You're saving them.
Yes. This was towards the tail end of last season and the beginning of this one when we had all of the Oko decks.
Yes.
And I was like, that's fair. I know that this format is going to change. And I know that I'm also not interested in playing either of these things right now. So now, though, that we've had the bannings and standard is in a fun place, I went ahead, I made two different standard decks that I'm really enjoying playing.
Which ones?
I crafted Jeskai Fires.
Yep.
Which I love. And then an Esper Control deck from a while back.
Oh, great.
That probably needs some updating, but it was doing well on Magic Online for a while. And I picked it up from there.
Oh, excellent. Yeah, I think that's totally fair. I've done the same thing in the past too. But this is my tip about wild cards is you're going to have to spend a little money, but I buy the pack that they give you at the start of the new set, which is $50. And you get a bunch of packs. You just crack them, which gives you a lot of wild cards, progress towards your vault, etc. And then I kind of wait for a little bit, maybe make one deck or two. Mm-hmm. And then I wait again. And then at the end of the season, there's no problem. I now have the entire set.
Yep.
And it was not that hard. So, like, that's my advice to people. When a new set comes out, buy that. I think it's a good deal if you want to play standard. And then over the course of the season, you'll be able to basically, by the end of it, craft whatever you want.
Yeah, exactly. So I would just say, like, in general, it boils down to, like, wait for something that you are going to want to play.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to craft a deck that you're just like, well, this is the best deck right now. Because in 3 weeks' time, one, it might not be the best deck anymore.
Yeah.
And if it's not something that you enjoyed playing, you're not getting the best use out of that.
Absolutely.
Anyways.
Know your play style and know what you think would probably be most likely to be something up your alley. Like, I was very sure that I would like the Chris Kvartek deck because it's creatures and it's attacking. So, like, I have no qualms about making that. I mean, I have the whole set by now, but, like, whatever. Say it was at the beginning.
Yeah. Sean asks, I hated blue until I used blue in my standard Dimir mill deck. Does this make me a bad person? Also, Merry Christmas.
Yes.
No. Blue is for winners.
I think any alternate win condition I do think is fun. Yeah. So I'm not going to hate on you for mill.
We're into mill.
Yeah.
Blue is great. Sergio asks, what's better, a wooden or plastic toilet seat?
Oh my gosh.
I'm going to say if you're fancy and you can afford wood, definitely that.
But what about those possibility of splinters?
What? It's like polish. It's like polished and finished. It's not like an unfinished wood toilet seat.
You know, I mean, maybe it starts polished and nice, but after many years of butts, perhaps it's splinter time, USA.
After many years of butts, your plastic one is broken anyways. Also.
Yeah, that's true. So no, I think wood is definitely.
I think wood is the way to
definitely
go.
Great.
I hadn't ever thought about it.
I'm glad I put the idea of a butt splinter into your brain. Happy Tuesday.
Exothiel asks, why doesn't Wizards care about limited?
Wow.
We wish.
Coming in with the fire.
We wish that they cared more about putting it in tournaments.
Let me tell you, I can answer this question though.
Yeah, I do think that they care about the quality of the limited environment.
Absolutely.
Yes. Go ahead.
Okay, so to answer your kind of facetious question, the reason that you don't see more of it and more time invested, et cetera, is because it doesn't get as many viewers If it's a limited event, and two, it doesn't, like, I don't think they think it sells packs as well as a standard standard does. But like Megan said, they'd spend a lot of time playtesting that play design team, make sure that the limited environment is great, which they've done now for a few sets, and they've I think they've knocked it out of the park.
Yeah.
So congratulations to them.
I haven't been as wild about Eldraine draft.
Really?
Yeah. I realized the other day I was like doing a draft and I was like, I don't enjoy this draft format much.
Why?
It's really hard. Like, it's difficult to say. I guess I never feel like the games don't feel tight to me. And the games don't feel different from one another. Like, I don't feel like there's a wide variety of matches that I'm playing. And they never feel that tight. It always feels kind of like it's in the within 5 turns, you have a solid sense of who's ahead in the game and who's going to win. And well, it doesn't deviate much.
Not every format can be for everybody. That's it's for true. Sure, too. But no, honestly, we both love draft. If you ask any pro player, I would say most of them would say draft is their favorite format. But the problem is it just doesn't get as many eyeballs. Why is that? There's a bunch of reasons. Can Arena help mitigate that? I think that it can. Can technology help mitigate that? Yes, I think that it can. Will it ever exceed or equal standard? Probably not. Do I think that Wizards should invest in it anyway? Yes. Do I think like a multi-track tournament, format tournament is an awesome idea? Yes. Mm-hmm. And I hope to have Arena drafts one day paired with standard or whatever on Arena tournaments. Mm-hmm. Because I just think like, even if you're not going to get the same volume of viewers because quote unquote, it's harder to track, which I also somewhat disagree with. Mm-hmm. It's worth it for just, sometimes you got to do the right thing, right? Which is draft is amazing and it's what got us into the game. And I think it can be super exciting and fun in ways that standard isn't. And you just like variety is the spice of life, right?
Yeah.
And sometimes you make that concession for an overall better product for a few number of people.
Mm-hmm. Cosmic Library asks, with such a focus on esports and tournaments, is there still a place for the casual player? I feel like most Magic news lately is focused on competition and getting an edge and not about fun things like squirrels and high fives.
Oh, squirrels and high fives are great. I mean,
we hope that we're always here for your squirrels and high fives and what kind of toilet seat is better.
Absolutely. But yeah, no, absolutely not. I only think like more people watching Magic and get involved with Magic means more ways to play and more people invested in things like Commander.
And I think it's also, it's just so like, it's easy to talk about what's going on competitively because it's so visible in public.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, we can look at the deck lists and talk about it. Even though what we're talking about is the highest level of standard deck list out there, that still is applicable to the casual player because there's tons of casuals who are just playing Arena and playing whatever deck they're having the best time with. And it's like, oh, hey, we happen to be able to talk about this because there were deck lists on the website for it.
Yeah. And like, think about Grand Prix and all that kind of thing. Like there's now command zones set up at Grand Prix, which
there's now Commander Fests.
Command Fest, which wasn't a thing before. Command Zone is probably the most popular series on YouTube.
Yeah.
Game Nights, excuse me. This kind of stuff is all out there for casual players. Like there's tons of subreddits for casual players and all this kind of thing. And hopefully our podcast plays to both sides of this coin, which is a tricky balance that we walk, but we hope that we do.
Mark Calderero asks, why don't people talk about the deuce?
Like the show?
Apparently, yes.
BDM talks about the deuce.
Well, Mark, go find BDM and talk about it. I have no idea what it is.
I watched or what it's the about. First episode and I was like, oh, you know, there's some great acting.
But what was it about?
It's about prostitutes in New York in the 70s.
Oh, okay then.
There you go.
Jeff asks, what's your feeling on the clearly heretical white chocolate Reese's trees?
Gross.
What an abomination.
I don't want to even think about them.
What a sin against chocolate.
Chocolate
and peanut butter
was made to be brown.
Just so you all know, at some point this weekend I walked into the green room where Maria was sitting on her computer working on something. And she goes, do you want to see a photo of a Reese's tree? And she pulls up like a giant high-res still of like a bite taken out of a Reese's tree from an ad. And it's just like on her computer, it was just there open already.
Sometimes you just got to relive your best moments. You know what I mean? If you're ever in a dark place, just look at a photo of a Reese's tree.
I'll tweet that photo tomorrow so everyone can look at it. I mean, of Maria looking at it on her computer.
Now I'm so hungry for a Reese's treat. What I'm saying is white chocolate's not even chocolate. It's something else. Don't even call it that. Thank you.
No, it's just confectioner's sugar.
Yeah, I don't know what it is.
Okay. Ian asks, what are some good travel hacks for people trying to get to more events?
Wow, great question, Ian. Yeah.
Find a group of people that you enjoy and trust enough to travel with, I think is a very big one.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, there's nothing like splitting a hotel or an Airbnb to help get that cost down.
Yeah.
Certainly a lot of people that we know that have traveled choose that way.
We have lots of travel hacks for if you travel a whole lot.
Yes.
Which we do, which I don't know if is entirely
applicable
to your question. But my number one is, like, I'm a member of a frequent flyer program, which is great.
Yeah.
But you have to travel a lot.
Honestly,
for that to
even
make
like get the
a difference.
Get the credit card for for whatever airline is a hub around you.
Yeah.
For Minneapolis, it's Delta. For if you're like in the Dallas area or, you know, around there, it's American Airlines, because you can get cheap direct flights with them. And then if you have their credit card, you're going to get bonuses like bringing your being able to check a bag for free and stuff like that.
I bought a bag that was kind of expensive, but I use it for traveling and it was worth every single penny. Like, that investment has paid off just so much for me.
And here is my biggest one, because food at convention centers, we're going to have a disagreement on this, is bad and way too expensive.
Oh, man. Get the chicken fingers and fries.
It's so pricey. And so I think my biggest one is, especially if it's one that you can, like, drive to, even if it's a longer drive, plan ahead for meals. Like, pack some sandwiches.
Absolutely.
Pack food. If you're flying in, you know, like, try and stop in at a grocery store or something on Friday and get yourself stuff that you can eat that's healthy, that's
totally
like gonna keep your, you know, your brain working through the entire event, and that it's also going to be cheaper than whatever you can buy in a convention center.
Yeah, great tip.
Becca asks, what are your favorite standard decks of all time?
Ooh, great question. My personal favorite, I talk about it a lot, is a SRAM deck, which was an enchantment aura draw cards deck. It was a drawing cards deck, but it was also attacking, and it was super, super fun. And I made a, you know, fairly, for me, deep run in at Grand Prix Seattle with that deck, and I love it. That's my answer.
Mine is the blue-white control deck that Yvonne Flock won the Pro Tour with a long while back now. That had Nyx Fleece Ram, but it had Supreme Verdict. It had Sphinx's Revelation. Like, just that good old-fashioned, like, no win con control.
I don't know what this button is, but I'm going to press it.
Of immortality.
Crickets.
I loved it. All you were doing was drawing cards and countering spells and killing creatures. You didn't even worry about winning the game. Your opponent conceded.
You didn't even
worry about
winning the game.
That's how you won.
What a nightmare.
Eric asks, do you have any good cat pie recipes? You're a monster, Eric.
How dare you?
How dare you? But if you're making a pie
out of a cat.
No, not out of a cat. I made pie crust for only the second time in my life recently, because the first time, which was several years ago, it went very poorly. I failed big time, and I've been afraid since then. And by big time, I mean it was still a pie crust, but it was like very tough, and I was very sad about it.
But you faced your fear.
But I faced my fear. Just make your pie crust the way that genius, like culinary genius Julia Child, tells you to. She has a part in her book.
Great.
Use a food processor. Make it like Julia tells you. And
you'll be happy.
My pie crust this Thanksgiving was incredible.
Wow.
It wasn't just like, this is a good pie crust on this apple pie. It's like, this crust is its own masterpiece.
A crust
and
on
I
a pie
was so happy
is so
about
important.
It. I was so happy. It was so good.
Now I want pie.
We've talked about a lot of food.
So much food. I'm so hungry. It's past lunchtime.
I haven't had coffee yet today, so
uh-oh.
I'm really good.
We're teetering on the edge here, people.
Twin asks, which card in Standard do you wish you could get to work but haven't been able to yet? Great question.
I think for a lot of people, the answer to this is happily ever after, which they have made it work, but it's not like, you know, a slam dunkerino. Yeah. Wow, I would have to look at the spoiler.
It's the big Archon, the one that the six mana one that comes in.
Oh yeah, that's a great answer.
Everything into three threes.
Yeah,
I feel like there's got to be some silly combo in there with that.
Yeah, I love that answer. Yeah, for sure.
I am very happy that we had, as we mentioned, the five color fires deck that had that five color Niv in it. Niv-Mizzet.
Oh, I know the my answer.
I love that card.
I wish there was a knight's deck with the card that gives all your knights +1/+1.
Oh yeah. I've played against every once in a while.
Oh really?
Yeah.
I love that card.
Yeah.
I love tribal decks, so that's my answer.
Not often, but I have seen it around.
Okay. Okay.
Antonio asks, but how did we meet?
Oh, cute.
Wow.
We met doing improv.
Yes.
Do you want to tell the story?
Yes. I love this story.
It's a great story.
Maria had just moved here from Austin, Minnesota.
Yep.
Or was in the process of
moving.
Home
of spam.
Yes. Home of spam. One of my very good friends had just moved away. And we met at an audition for Comedy Sports, which we've now both been part of for a very long time.
Yeah.
As long as this podcast has been going
yes,
on.
Yes, essentially.
And I was like, I'm going to make this person be my friend.
Which was, you know, with me, the right move. Because I'm not going to make the first move in that.
And so we had for a long time, we had a document called Work Notes. This is back in like the early days.
Work Notes.
Don't listen to this,
former employer.
When we were both at our boring day jobs, we could type to each other.
In work notes. And people are like, oh, well, guess they're just writing some work notes.
People walk by and they're just like, that's a really big document. Work notes.
This is a life hack, everybody out there.
There you
go. Think about it.
Anyways, and here we are.
And here we are today. Oh my gosh, I almost forgot about work notes.
I know, right? It's still in my Google Drive somewhere.
I could not read it.
I know, there's pages of...
I would be so embarrassed. I would die reading that nowadays.
Oh, wow. Seen us through several phases of our lives.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Work notes. Ooh. Solid.
If Minnesota, Barbarian's Riddle asks, if Minnesota was made into a legendary land, what would be on it?
Wow, it would be a snow land, I think. So it could tap for snow mana. gosh, it would make maybe.
It would 100% be snow.
We'd 100%
be a snow island.
Yes,
because there's
so
many lakes.
Yep, land of 10,000 lakes.
Mm-hmm.
Would it do anything else? Maybe you could pay to make a food token.
Yeah,
because of the state fair. That's all I got.
It's a snow island that you can use to make,
to make
food tokens.
That's pretty busted, honestly.
Yeah, it seems pretty good.
That's a good land. Just give you free life throughout the game if you need it.
Yep.
Taps for snow. Sign me up.
Ooh, we'll make the food token expensive. It's like 4 mana.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Antonio has a follow-up. Since we're almost in the holiday season, what's the thing that you like the most about each other?
Oh, that's so cute. Oh, wow. Great question.
Very good question. I mean, around the holidays, it feels like it's cheating because it's easy to answer. Maria is like top gift giver I've ever known in my life.
I love giving presents.
Which is like really impressive. If I think about the entire history of my life
wow.
and who has given me gifts, you're like the person who you enjoy doing it. And you're also just like very good. Like you get things that people genuinely really like.
I take great pride in this because the look on someone's face when you give them something that they really like is like next to none.
Yeah.
So I really love doing it. I have a whole document where I like throughout the entirety of the year plan out...
Like, is there anyone else in your life who you've ever met who would do that for people? No.
It's kind of like, okay, well, now we're shifting into this, so I'm going to take that off. I've got a plan for this one, so I'm going to add that. It's a living document. It's on my phone. That's the thing. Okay, so I'm going to get, like, big picture here. The big pick is, well, it's a couple, I think twofold, and they're related. And one is that Megan is very smart and knows a lot about many things. And I think this is really cool and isn't afraid to talk about those things and like to help educate other people, which I think is great. Politics is a big one. Just things generally, like we heard talk about baking there too. And I think that segues into like getting stuff done, which is something else I love, which is like a lot of times people are like, oh, I wish this thing was this way, or I wish I would do this. And then it never happens. Right. But Megan is somebody who will make that happen. So like, oh, I wish I had an improv show about Jane Austen. Well, I think I'll just make it.
Yeah.
And yeah. that drive of actually doing things that you want, be the change you want to see in the world, right? There you go. That's what I'm going to boil it down to. And aww, that's super admirable. And I think if more people live their lives like that, the world would be a better place and they would be happier too.
Thanks.
There you go.
Thanks for the tip on red, green, non-humans in arena draft.
Oh,
Grumgully is an absolute unit.
Grumgully is an absolute unit. And Grumgully makes other things absolute units, too.
Yeah, thanks. A nice planeswalker.
Oh, that's very nice. Oh, yeah, you've tweeted at us before.
Mm-hmm. Ooh, Mike asks, and we talked about this a little bit, how do you feel about the loss of Limited at this upcoming world championship?
Yeah, very sad.
Which we are obviously quite sad about.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's all.
Wow. Great questions, everybody. Thanks for the ow.
Ow.
Ow. Yeah, we recorded the upkeep today, too. So if you're a fan of this show, go check that out.
Hold on. I cheated on my answer because I said it was holiday specific.
Oh, okay.
Even though I do think that you're like, it shows how much you care about your friends. But I also like that I feel like there's every group, like, I can't think of a group of people who dislikes you. Unless they're really bad people. But right, like,
I was
going to
say,
like,
I can think of a few.
I mean, like, but those people suck.
Yeah, that's
outside
fair.
Of people that are just like terrible, like grumpy pusses about the world. I just love how there's like, there's so many people from so many different spectrums of our lives that we run into. And they all, like, you get along with all of them.
Oh, that's nice.
I feel like you just like, it's like you are able to relate to people in whatever way they need to be related to.
I call this, I feel like a chameleon a lot of times in my life, which is not necessarily a good thing all the time, because sometimes you lose yourself and you're like, you realize you're just trying to make other people happy or fit into whatever is happening and be happy in that situation, which I can do. But then I'm like, wait a second, but who am I? Now we're getting real existential on this show.
Well, you're a gecko that has skin that changes color.
Oh, okay. That's great. I want to be a rainbow lizard.
With big old, like those big, the big eyes.
That do this.
Don't they have two lids? Or is that just like other amphibians?
They probably.
Or is that fish?
Cats? Nope.
Right, because they're the ones like they have one lid that goes over and then like a second
like a frog.
Lid. Yes.
I don't know. If you know,
what I'm saying is that you have two eyes.
Thank you. What we've had great compliments on this show.
Gross. What if you were watching someone and they I'm grossing myself out with this one.
Great.
And you watched them blink and you saw like that you saw like one kind of transparent lid coming down and then right over their other
yuck.
One.
Yuck.
Would you freak out?
Did you freak out in Men in Black when he blinked his eyelids sideways?
Oh yeah, I didn't like that.
Spoiler alert. Within the first five minutes.
Spoiler alert for Men in Black.
Guess what? Ultra Pro, everybody.
That's right. We're holding some of their sweet art deck boxes right now.
Yeah.
This one has Ren and Six.
This one has Garrick on it.
Because 3-mana Planeswalkers weren't busted enough.
You know, Garrick, there's a big Garrick at Mythic Championship 7 on the video wall that was like breathing and holding this axe. And like, I was so terrified
that
every time I looked over at it.
Yeah.
It was really actually very, very creepy. Garrick is a scary character.
Yeah.
Anyway... Do you like him? You can get him on this deck box. Yeah, we've got a whole bunch of Ultra Pro swag that is coming our way. So we're
so excited.
Very
including
excited.
Including what is apparently 7 pounds of dice.
Yep, 7 pounds of dice.
Because we love Ultra Pro dice so much that we kept being like, send
we
us
need
more dice.
We need dice.
So yeah. I think that they might have sent us 7 pounds of dice.
And, you know, our 7 pounds of dice is your good fortune because
right.
we're going to be giving it away all throughout the 2020 to lucky listeners and people who are patrons and that kind of thing of the show. And, you know, like we said, for holiday season, if your friend has a favorite character in Magic, hello, they have them on a deck box from Ultra Pro.
Oh, and they have all of the, like, the Japanese art planeswalkers.
Look, I've got Sarah over here.
From War of the Spark.
I mean, she's not Sarah, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
I've got the Lady in the Lake here.
Is Sarah.
Is that Sarah?
Isn't it?
No, wait.
Isn't it?
Yes.
Are we going crazy?
I know I was wrong about something with her, and I can't remember what it was anymore. Anyways. This is Emery here, who is the Lurker of the Lock with the sword, which is an awesome deck box. And, ooh, this is a card I would like to see more of in Standard, actually, speaking of. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's a
yeah.
pretty sweet card.
Yeah, this is Sarah.
Oh, yeah, that's Sarah. Okay. The Benevolent.
Woo! We got around to it.
But, yeah, whoever their favorite character is in Magic, you can find products with their likeness on it from Ultra Pro, which is really, really cool.
Yeah.
Well, everyone, that's our show.
Yes, Maria, don't forget to announce that winner.
Ah, thank you so much. Okay, congratulations to the winner of our fantasy draft for Mythic Championship 7. Hold on, I'm going to go get their name.
I just keep holding these scissors.
You do.
And I don't know why, except that they're here. Hazy Chilla.
Congratulations, Hazy Chilla. Yay. Will you please email us at glhfmagic@gmail.com with your mailing address, and we'll send you an awesome prize package.
Is it glhfmagic? Is that our email address?
Yeah, glhfmagic@gmail.com.
Wow, I think I might have had our email address wrong.
What did you think it was?
Good luck, high five.
No, that's too long.
It's not?
Mm-mm. Not spelled out.
Maybe all those times that I've been like, Maria, I can't log into our email.
You were putting that in?
There's entirely a chance that I was logging in with the wrong information. Wow. My world is...
Your world is rocked.
It really is.
So Hazy Chilla picked... okay, I'm going to say who they picked. I think that's Brad Nelson, Andrea Mengucci, Javier Dominguez, Gab Nassif was their challenger.
I think that's Piotr Glogowski in the middle.
Oh, yeah. No, that is Piotr. And... William Huey Jensen.
Nice. Gabe Nassif being a great challenger pick.
Yeah, great pick there.
I can't believe that you can read that from here.
Well, I had to really lean in, and I got one of them wrong. So,
but I mean, it's very impressive. The computer is on the other side of the room, and the font is quite small.
You know, I just recently went in for an eye exam.
Yeah.
There was no change. I have an astigmatism, but I don't correct it with contacts.
Oh.
Because... those contacts feel really weird because it's weighted.
Yeah.
Because
it's trying to change the shape of your eyeball.
This is all information you needed to know.
Isn't that spooky?
Ooh.
You can get LASIK.
Yeah, but I'm never doing that.
Why? Is it too spooky?
I'm very, very, very spooked by LASIK.
But our friend just got it.
I know. She did. And she
decided the night before and then just went in and got it the next day.
Impulse LASIK. No, it's too spooky for me, but I also love wearing glasses. So, like,
that's legit.
Like, when I'm an old lady, I want to wear the coolest glasses.
I don't think that I would have the patience for it.
For LASIK?
No, for my eyesight wasn't.
Yeah, like, I mean, it is a thing.
I don't think that I would have patience to wear contacts on the days that I didn't want to wear glasses.
Yeah,
I would just be so mad eventually.
You do have to have a little bit of patience, but honestly, I forget about it. I don't even think about it anymore. Anyway,
this has been your conversation.
We're off topic.
Thank you to everyone who supports the show over on patreon.com/glhfmagic.
Still holding those scissors.
No, why?
They're just a little threatening now.
I'm holding them by the sharp side.
Okay.
The sharp side is in my hand as though I were about to safety handle them to you. Anyways.
Yeah, thank you, everybody. We have had this new soundboard, which is great.
It's beautiful.
It's not a joke, but I did hit the rim shot button. What's this one? Oh, magical sound effect. We're going to have fun with these sound effects buttons once we set them all for ourselves. And it really does mean a lot to us that you're helping us out and keeping the show running. Well, like we said, 15 by the end of the month. Mm-hmm. Can we do it? Can we put me in a Santa outfit?
Come on. Put Maria in a Santa outfit.
I want to wear the beard most of all.
Yep.
And thank you to our supporters, Card Kingdom and Ultra Pro, for being sponsors of our show and just being awesome. And coming up next week, well, not next week, but pretty soon, we're going to have the Crimbies.
Yeah.
It's our end of year award show.
It'll be great.
It'll be super great.
All right.
Yeah, if you didn't win our fantasy draft, you can click on the Gleam link in the show notes or below the video to enter for a chance to win a prize pack. We do that every single month, and I want to make sure people know about it. Check out the Upkeep every single week and our board game channel.
Oh, and go listen to the Upkeep on PodMN.
Yes, PodMN.
If you're listening over there, you could win another prize from
us. Yeah, we have so many prizes.
So many.
Get this. We are the podcast with the most prizes.
I think that we are.
I think that is a true statement.
I think so.
And so I'm pretty proud of that.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and hanging out with us this week. We'll be back next week to hang out some more. So get the popcorn popping.
Party up.